Magnesium might be the most popular nutrient. In US, Calm Magnesium is one of the most popular supplements, and there is a valid reason for this. You might have experienced some amazing changes within your body from magnesium, perhaps even a specific form. Magnesium is also one of the safest nutrients, which makes it easier to try on ourselves and observe when we cannot work with a practitioner. Many other supplements do not fall under that category. In today's episode, we will answer three key questions. Why is magnesium so popular? How does magnesium interplay with sleep? What are the range of conditions where magnesium is critical? Maria Roldan is a firm magnesium advocate, and as she clearly says herself, it is more than just working for natural calm. She truly believes and vouches for the power of magnesium. Maria was the best practitioner to speak about the magic of magnesium. She is the business development of Natural Calm, who also works with product development. She has helped her long-time anxiety with magnesium, and she's a holistic nutritionist and certified food and spirit practitioner. Let's talk magnesium. Hey everyone, I'm Deepa, a light functional medicine practitioner, author and yogini, and you're listening to the Sleep Whisperer podcast, the only sleep podcast with conversations and meditations. I'm on a mission to share profoundly insightful sleep conversations with global visionaries that merge together functional medicine and ancient wisdom. Breathe in bliss through weekly guided meditations and let yourself enter the land of dreams. Together, let's unravel the pieces, get to the roots, and understand the right tools to transform your sleep completely. Through this podcast, I want you to dream the best version of yourself. It's time to regain hope and begin your sleep journey. Maria, so great to have you on the show today, and you are a magnesium advocate, and I know that magnesium is hugely popular, and I definitely like to know why. And on this episode, we'd really love to know and answer three key questions revolving around magnesium, which is, why is it so popular? Because I think it becomes a baseline supplement for almost every practitioner out there. How does it interplay with sleep itself, and what are the range of conditions that it helps with? And I know for one that I am a magnesium advocate, because that's where I begin the work, and I'm such a huge big fan of magnesium. So maybe we could get started by what is making you talk about magnesium so much?
Thank you so much, Deepa, for having me in the podcast. And I think you're doing an amazing work advocating for all things related to sleep, because definitely is the other silent pandemic, right? Or maybe not so silent after COVID. So magnesium has a really intricate relationship with sleep and with all things mental health, I would say, because I think we cannot talk about sleep without talking about mental health. And that is actually one of the main way that I got to experience the amazing benefits of magnesium is through my own mental health struggles. So I have suffered from anxiety for most of my adult life. And even though I was in traditional treatment, I mean, this was before I became a holistic nutritionist, I was on medication. And medications have their place, but it's not enough. You know, you really have to go beyond that. And when I started looking for other options, more holistic ways of treating anxiety, I was introduced to magnesium. And once again, this was even before when I started my career, my knowledge, educating myself in holistic health. So my naturopath, you know, explained it to me, you know, you could benefit from this supplement. And at the time, I just didn't know much. I didn't pay much attention. And to be honest with you, at the time, it didn't seem, I wasn't noticing such a big effect right away. It wasn't until I tried like different types of magnesium that where the effects were more noticeable for my anxiety, that then I'm like, huh, this is very interesting. And then life kept going. And years later, I actually ended up working with a company that is here in Canada, the exclusive distributor of a very popular brand of magnesium in North America. So obviously through that work, I got to learn a lot more about magnesium. And not only that, but also I got to experience talk to real users of magnesium at trade shows and all the trainings that we were giving as well. And it's, something I got to say from the business perspective, there's a lot of companies that buy the reviews of their products. And in this company in particular, and I'm not, I don't want to, I know you said, maybe at the end we can mention brands, but I don't want people to think that I'm promoting one specific brand. I'm promoting magnesium in general. But I have to say, the reviews that we get, testimonials that we get, are mind blowing. And that to me, obviously it says a lot, because these are the real people using it, right? So in my own clinical experience as a nutritionist, I also see it. But, I can only see so many people. When I go and I'm talking, we have thousands of testimonials that gives a different perspective, right? And say, wow, this really is helping people. So all these years, from my own experience and then through my line of work, I just live and breathe magnesium, right? All things magnesium. So I believe it's a mineral that most people are deficient on. So that would be actually the first reason why it's so important. It's because of our westernized diets, with so much processed foods, with lots of alcohol, because by the way, alcohol consumption is one of the reasons why you'd be magnesium deficient. So, and Deepa, through the pandemic, like alcohol consumption went like skyrocketed. So, ironically, people trying to sleep better, thinking that, the glasses of wine at the end of the day are going to help them. And it's totally the opposite, in fact. So we don't have the best diets, lots of processed foods. On top of that, we have very stressful lives. It seems to be just the norm for, modern society. So we know not only magnesium, but with any nutrient, stress is going to deplete reserves. So when you're already compounding lots of stress, and it's just a recipe for, failure. So magnesium, means your body can produce it, adaptation, right?
So Maria, you spoke a lot about magnesium and how it's so important. People are so deficient. And I know that we did discuss how many roles it plays. And I'm presuming that's the reason why people get so deficient, is because it's used for so many functions. So if you could just bring some clarity into how does it help us? Why are we deficient? Alcohol is one. I'm presuming high sugar diets as well is part of it. And a lot of what you mentioned, the alcohol, the magnesium deficiency, all of that also interplay with sleep. So why is it so important for us?
Absolutely. So magnesium is involved in at least 300 enzymatic reactions in our body. So that's a lot. That actually comprises every single health system in your body. So for instance, to name the most important ones, we start in the brain with sleep and all the neurotransmitters that are necessary, you know, for proper mental, you know, functioning. So magnesium is involved in a lot of those functions. It's, once again, it's like a cofactor for the production of neurotransmitters. And specifically in the case of sleep, magnesium is actually necessary for the production of melatonin. So, you know, and I'm sure in this podcast, you have talked about melatonin probably many times because it's that hormone that is directly related with us, with helping us keep our rhythms and going to sleep at night. So very, very tight relationship between magnesium and melatonin and then all the other neurotransmitters. And also, you see, magnesium is it's actually being called the relaxation mineral, the relaxation mineral. So not only on a muscular level, but also in your central nervous system, like it just helps you calm down and relax and have less anxiety. So of course that is going to have an effect on your sleep, right? And nights are actually probably the most recommended time of the day to take magnesium as a supplement would be before bed. So we have sleep, we have pain management. So once again, the relaxation part, just it helps. Magnesium can help tremendously with any type of physical pain that you're experiencing. In fact, for migraines, it's been documented, you know, for a long time that it helps a lot with migraines. And it just a quick little fact is that the founder of the company that I work with, she found magnesium because her sister suffered from migraines her whole life. And somebody recommended magnesium to her. And she saw, you know, she had like an amazing improvement in quality of life because of it. So, and, you know, for me, migraines and headaches, like right away, you think about magnesium. So we talked mental health. Then there's the cardiovascular, cardiometabolic part, which is not only heart health, but also, you know, everything that has to do with blood sugar management. So diabetes, you know, diabetes and heart conditions are tightly related. So magnesium has a very important role in there as well. And then we have bone health. So, you know, for especially actually women and later in life, like I am already a postmenopausal woman, like when I went into early menopause. So bone health becomes extremely important. And magnesium is as needed as calcium and vitamin D for bone, you know, formation. So it's, I know we have been told, I'm going to say mostly by the marketing of these companies from that sell calcium, that is all about calcium, but really you need calcium, you need magnesium and you need vitamin D. And many times magnesium deficiency comes from way too much calcium in your body, way too much calcium from your diet. Like a lot of foods are fortified with calcium, but not with magnesium, right? So fortified as in added extra calcium. So that's also very important. And then we have the energy component. So imagine we talked about sleep, we talked about mental health and relaxation, but also you also need energy. So the energy production, you know, in the mitochondria, the ATP actually needs magnesium. So it's just such a wide range of functions within your body. Once again, more than 300 functions that it's one of those things that as practitioners, as you mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, you know, you use it a lot. It's one of your first go-tos. Of course, I completely agree because it's an easy intervention that is going to help people, you know, relax, sleep better. If they have any type of pain, it's also going to help with that. So, and actually some types of magnesium in general can cause, you know, a side effect, like a known side effect is that it can cause loose stools. So that can be seen as a problem, but actually it can be seen as a great thing to happen because constipation is very, very common due to poor diets or due to other conditions. So if it's going to help you, you know, evacuate on a daily basis, and it's going to help you sleep better, and it's going to help you relax, and it's going to help with your pain, of course, that's an easy intervention. And that's why it's extremely popular, right? You know, something I just remember, something that I didn't mention is, you know, we talked about alcohol and poor diets as reasons, some of the reasons why we're so deficient in magnesium, but it's also medications. So, and we know, you know, the modern society is like tons of people are on medications. So there's a lot of medications that deplete magnesium. And also as we age, we lose our ability to produce more of our stomach acid, like let's say digestion in general, we can say digestion kind of like goes down as we age. So maybe you're not absorbing magnesium as you should. So that's another reason, you know, as you're getting older, your magnesium needs actually improve. So
wow, Maria, I'm going to stop
you. It's one
you.
Of those things. Yeah.
I'm going to stop you for a second because you mentioned medication that deplete magnesium or can be a contributor to magnesium deficiency. And I do want you to just break that down. So what are the kind of medication that can typically lead to magnesium deficiency? Because I think it's important for somebody who's listening to realize where they might be then at risk for magnesium deficiency.
Okay, so listen, there's a very long list, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to tell you one type, which is one of the most common medications, over-the-counter medications, and it's antacids. So, you know, antacids are so popular with the wrong belief that, you know, they're going to help you, which you and I know it's actually doing the opposite. You might get temporary relief, but you are not really absorbing, like your body is really not going to be absorbing all the nutrients on the food that you're taking or, you know, on the medications that you're taking. Because antacids actually, they're very tricky type of drugs. So that alone, you know, we're covering like a huge part of the population that are constantly taking the antacids on a daily basis. So that, and actually that's gonna cause deficiency, not only in magnesium, but in a lot of other very important nutrients for your body.
I'd love for you, Maria, to speak a little bit. I know that there's a lot of talk about specific forms of magnesium. And I know that also a lot of brands of magnesium, which are a bit maybe economical, at least in India, a large percentage of the ingredient is magnesium oxide, which I think is quite alarming to have in a product. So I would like to know, is there some truth to using different forms of magnesium for specific purposes? For example, the citrate, the glycinate, is there, should we be having all of them in our cupboard and using them appropriately? Which one, of course, supports sleep? And why should we not be having a product that has large amounts of magnesium oxide?
Right. Okay. So, you see, funny enough, so it's not that magnesium oxide, it's going to be bad for you. It's not that. It's just that it's a very cheap form of magnesium, which is poorly absorbed. So you're only going to absorb a very small percentage. But funny enough, Deepa, a lot of the studies have been done, of clinical studies, are done with the cheap type of magnesiums. So what does that tell you? That even at low amounts, even with low percentage of absorption, you're still going to get some benefit, right? So, but obviously in reality and being practical and being smart, you want the best bang for your buck. You know, it's like, okay, if I'm going to be spending money on a supplement, you know, let's try to get the best. So, and the other thing is because oxide and in those cheaper forms of magnesium really, really cause, you know, the loose stools effect, side effect that we talked about. So, you know, in some cases, you are actually going to need that for certain medical procedures they might recommend that they need you to evacuate your bowels completely, they, you can use magnesium for that. If someone is having a really terrible bout of constipation, then why not? Just use the cheaper forms. However, you know, for a maintenance or long-term or therapeutic, you know, doses. So the ones that you want to go to are the ones that are combined, such as magnesium citrate, magnesium glycinate. Those two, I know there's other forms that, you know, there's taurate and malate. Those are, you know, a little more specific, that it would be really working closely with a practitioner that they would see the need for you to go to one of those. But in general, the two most common, most popular and best, most effective, better used magnesium forms are citrate and glycinate. So citrate can cause a lot more of the side effect of loose stools than glycinate. However, you know, depending on the product, you actually will see a very like faster effect with citrate. You know, the thing is, you got to know how to take it. If you are having, you know, if you're reacting with loose stools, you should be taking it through the day, not just in one large dose. And, you know, this is another fact from a lot of the studies, is that they recommend that that is the best way to take magnesium, is to take a small doses through the day. The thing is that, you know, when we were talking about the night or before bed being the best time to take it, it's because most of us are suffering from sleep problems. So you do want a large dose at the end of the day. But you see, magnesium gets depleted during the day. It's you know, you take it, you excrete it through your urine. So if you, you know, if you're having particularly stressful days, you might benefit from what we just described, you know, a large dose at night, but also smaller doses through the day. Either if you're taking a liquid or a liquid form that you can mix with water, or if you're taking it in capsules, maybe take a capsule mid-morning, a capsule mid-afternoon, and then, you know, then at night you take more. So glycinate and citrate, and by the way, there's a lot of companies saying that, oh, this is, you know, this is the most absorbent, this is the best type. There's absolutely no proof yet showing that, you know, citrate and glycinate, they're actually very close in absorption, very, very close. And even the company that I work for paid for a study a few years ago. It was a double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized trial. It was a small study, but still, you know, with the golden standard, right, of the double-blind, placebo-controlled, randomized. And citrate actually came ahead a little bit, but we were comparing Canadian brands. So that was for business purposes, right? We wanted to know that. However, here, as a practitioner, I'm telling you, there's really not much of a difference. However, you know, I recommend to have both of them and to find which one suits you better. And during the day, for practical reasons, I prefer to take a capsule. It's just easier for me. So I take, you know, I take a capsule, and then at night I take it as a drink, because I find the effect of the drink is more immediate. Like, I really feel the difference. With the capsule, I don't feel the difference right, like, so quickly. So I recommend people to just have a variety, have, you know, have the citrate, have the glycinate, see which one feels better for your body. And we haven't mentioned that there's also transdermal, meaning, you know, you can apply magnesium as magnesium chloride, and it actually works really well, Deepa. That's another one. There's people that don't like taking supplements, so that's a good option. Or also, because you can go into more localized uses, right? So if you have a sore neck, or, you know, maybe in your legs, like anywhere in your body, then you can spray it. You can find them in sprays, or you can find them in lotions or balms or gels. So that's another really good reason, where you actually bypass completely your digestion you know, your digestive system. It's just going to go into your bloodstream right away. The clinical studies are not that great for the transdermals, but as you and I know, you know, it's not actually, in the words of a doctor that I love, Dr. James Greenblatt, and you know, he's a holistic psychiatrist, and he's like, you know, magnesium is really not that sexy. There's not really so there's not much interest in investing money for more studies. So, you know, the fact that, you know what I mean, there's a lot of studies, but not enough to prove certain things is not enough reason to disqualify them, because on clinical practice, we see it. And once again, I can tell you from a business perspective, from my experience on that side, that there's lots of people that are using only the transdermal and they still benefit from it. So once again, I think the best thing is to try a variety and see what mix works better for you.
Oh, Maria, you shared so many things and my mind did go to how we are all very unique. And when you mentioned we can take it in split doses, I wanted to just share that, you know, when I take it during the day, some days if I'm just feeling a bit anxious or stressed, I just fall asleep. So it just doesn't work for me. So I need to take it at night. And this has happened to me several times where I just knock off. I haven't planned to fall asleep. And then there are others whom I worked with where they've taken magnesium at night and they've said that it's ruined their sleep, and they do beautifully by taking it in the morning. So I think, of course, as you said, the best way is really to try out and see what works for us individually. But let's come a little bit to dosing, because you did mention citrate and glycinate. So I know that magnesium is probably one of those safer supplements that you could get away with without needing a practitioner. You might not go so wrong with just trying magnesium for yourself. So if you could just talk a little bit about dosing and the form regarding the dosing, and how do you use, I know that you mentioned citrate, when you go too much, it can have loose stools. So obviously your body is letting you know that it's too much for you. How do we find the exact dose of it? Because just this morning, somebody messaged me saying, I took 3 capsules of the magnesium glycinate on the first day, which was 120 per capsule. And then I had great sleep, but then I did it 3 days in a row. Now, every night I'm waking up in the middle of the night to go and poop, and I don't want that. So let's talk dosing.
Yes. Okay. So you see, the RDA, so the recommended daily allowance, is 350 milligrams. You see, here in Canada, for instance, because the Canadian Health Canada, which is kind of like the FDA in the US, is very strict. Like our standards here are very high. They actually they publish all of it. It's called the monographs of each nutrient. And here in Canada, they have a little more nuance, and they tell you, okay, you can go up to 500 milligrams now. And they actually also divide it between men and women and kids, but which I find it so odd that they would make the needs for men higher than for women, because we didn't even talk about hormones, but magnesium is fantastic for PMS. And a lot of women, just by taking magnesium, their PMS just improves tremendously. So I really don't know where they got that from. But if we're going to talk in general, they say, okay, you can go up to 500 milligrams a day. That is what Health Canada is saying. So you and I know that for therapeutic purposes, you can play around with those. So I, you know, from a lot of the doctors that I follow in the functional medicine world and that promote and talk about magnesium, I know it's known that you can recommend even up to 1,000 milligrams in a day. Now, on a every single day? No. That's where the nuances of therapeutic uses, you know, it's different. And that's where you work with a practitioner. Or like you were saying, it's actually a very, very safe supplement. So you can do your own experimenting. I would just not encourage you to do 1,000 milligrams every day. But we're talking, you know, someone maybe with extreme insomnia, that it's, you know, you want to help, you know, and then as a practitioner, you say, okay, well, for a certain period of time, we're going to do a high dose. So yes, now, so once again, it's 350 is the RDA. Health Canada says you can take up to 500 milligrams. I can tell you from a clinical perspective, in thinking, especially on mental health and anxiety. So you can take let's say 500 milligrams at night, or between 300 and 500 at night, but then take it during the day. Take, take 120 up to 200 milligrams if you need to during the day. It's funny what you were saying, how you react to, like, you actually fall asleep if you take it during the day. You know, I don't get that effect. This is, you know, I'm a highly anxious person. So if I take it, it helps me calm down, but it's not going to send me to sleep. So again, we're all different, right? So, or going back to what we were saying about just taking the smaller doses, maybe from mid-morning to mid-afternoon, saving the night for a little of a larger dose. But in that case, a liquid form or a powder, let's say the main product from the company that I work with, it's a powder that you mix with hot water. And then that you can easily add to a bottle of water and just drink it from mid-morning, you know, to mid-afternoon, right? So that's easy. You just have your water bottle and you just drink little sips. So yeah, that's what I find. And once again, for instance, I like to mix the citrate at night, and then during the day, glycinate. So that's usually, you know, what I do, what I find useful. But you can use only citrate or only glycinate, or just, you know, do the transdermal as well. So you can find a good mix there.
And I think, Maria, also that when we spoke about the dose, what I found here is because there's so many products I've had from US and also from India, and some of the products in India, they claim to be 850, 750. And I find that they don't have anywhere near the effect of taking 120 from a very pure form. So I think there's definitely something to bioavailability and how we absorb it. What you made about the oil, I love my magnesium oil, and that I find that I do very well with, even during the day, for when, you know, you feel a bit tense in your neck and the pain. And you mentioned right at the start about pain and sleep have such a bidirectional axis, that, you know, when you're in pain, you can't sleep. When you haven't slept, your pain magnifies. So I think it's a win-win if we take pain and sleep. I know we're almost out of time. We've already probably gone a little over. However, you did mention that we didn't talk about hormones. And as two women who are both in perimenopause, menopause, and who both probably have had some form of anxiety and poor sleep through our life, I think we shouldn't close this episode without just talking about women and hormones, sleep, and magnesium.
Yes. Well, I mean, there is there's a fantastic effect, like it's documented effect for helping with PMS, you know, like we were talking, but also in later. So, you know, if we're talking PMS, we're talking from puberty, adolescent women, you know, my Spanish pronunciation there failed me. Puberty. There you go. I got it better then. So it's, you know, from such an early age all the way to perimenopause, which, as we know, can start in your mid-30s, actually. So for all those stages in your life, it's going to help. So maybe, and even if you don't, even if you're not menstruating anymore, you're postmenopausal, you still would get great benefit from magnesium for all the relaxation, you know, purposes that we're talking about. And because once again, we cannot forget that it's involved with more than 300 enzymatic reactions. So in a postmenopausal period, you're a lot more sensitive to the stress response because your adrenals are overworked by having to produce some of the sex hormones that your ovaries are not producing anymore. When you, like what I was saying is, in every cycle of a woman's life, you know, magnesium can be helpful. So even, and we covered, you know, why women that are still cycling, you know, menstruating, it helps with PMS. But even if you're not, even if you're, you know, menopausal and postmenopausal, it's going to have a fantastic effect helping to keep your adrenals in good health. Because you got to remember, when you are postmenopausal, your adrenals are taking on a lot more work because they are helping produce the sex hormones that your ovaries are not producing anymore, right? So imagine, it's like as if we didn't have enough stress already, our poor stress, you know, glands, like your adrenals, have a lot more work. So magnesium can help to keep them, you know, working better. And also because there's a big relationship between adrenal health and blood sugar management, right? So the, you know, insulin resistance conditions, very common, actually not only in menopause, but throughout your life. And magnesium is known and necessary to help with all of that cycle, all that relationship between the stress and blood sugar management.
Any final magnesium wisdom, Maria?
Well, you know, what I can say is start always with diet, obviously, right? Start with diet because, you know, if you're going to get all those green, leafy greens, and if you're going to get all your legumes and good quality grains and your nuts and seeds, you know that you're getting some magnesium. You know that. But unfortunately, the quality of the soils in which food is grown these days is not the best. So if the minerals are not in the soil, they're not going to be in the food either, right? So it's always, you know, as nutritionists, we always say, start with food. Make sure you have that baseline. But I'm telling you, it's documented that the deficiency of magnesium is very generalized in the modern world. There's a statistics showing that. So you have to at least assume that you don't have optimal levels. And that's where supplementation becomes important. So if you want to work with a practitioner to check your levels and maybe go for a more individualized approach, fantastic. But if you're suffering from pain, if your sleep is not the best, if you have some type of anxiety or mental health struggle, if you have issues with your bone health, if you're always tired, if you have some type of, if you have type 2 diabetes, for sure, you know, you're going to need to supplement with magnesium.
Any favorite forms, Maria, any brands that you'd like to recommend and why you recommend those brands?
I would prefer, you know, either the Natural Calm, or any other formula that comes like in a powder that you can mix and just help with that absorption. In glycinate forms, I'm going to mention a brand that I really like. It's a professional brand. It's Designs for Health. I really like their magnesium glycinate, and it has a really actually high dose in it. I can't remember the number, but I know that comparing it with others, they have a really good magnesium glycinate. So that's in the, but the same, you know, Metagenics also offers it, or any of the Atrium brands. So Douglas Labs and Pure Encapsulations actually is also another one that I would recommend. But also there's, you know, there's tons of brands out there. Magnesium, I'm going to speak once again from the business perspective, like it's an extremely popular supplement. So there's a lot out there. Just do your research, maybe, you know, the brands that I mentioned is, it's the conclusions that I came to and that I love and know. But talk to your practitioner and see maybe what other brands you can explore.
Lovely, Maria. Thank you for your time. And where can people find you if they'd like to know more about magnesium and a whole lot more about Maria?
Thank you, Deepa. My website is mariaroldan.ca. That's where you can find me. I'm making a lot of changes now to my website, and I'm going to be doing a lot more work in Spanish. You know, if any of your listeners know people that can benefit, you know, from having access to this information in Spanish, that's what I'm going to start doing. I mean, on Instagram, which is mariaroldan_.ca, I've started to post exclusively in Spanish because I feel that I need to help and to help spread this information to that community as well. But yes, in mariaroldan.ca is where really people can find me.
And I know that I'd encourage anyone to go to your Instagram, and I always listen to your videos because you sound so musical when you're talking in Spanish that it just cheers me up. But thank you for your time, Maria. It was a pleasure speaking with you, and I can see your dog in the background as we wrap this up. So thank you for your time.
Thank you so much, Deepa. Thank you for, you know, the work that you're doing and all the information you're putting out there to help like so many people. So thank you for that as well.
On today's episode, we heard Maria Roldan advocating for magnesium. We went through different forms of magnesium and when each might be relevant and necessary. Here's my take on magnesium. Like anything else, including nutrients and protocols, each one of us is very unique. As I mentioned on the episode, I found myself falling asleep in the morning after taking magnesium for some pain. I've also seen from clinical experience someone who feels alert and awake after taking magnesium at night. If you do introduce magnesium, the very best way is to not introduce anything else or make any other changes alongside this intervention. Think about your intention for taking magnesium, try a low dose, and be mindful of subtle reactions in your body. Even if something is the best and most popular nutrient, it does not mean that an adverse reaction in your body cannot occur. It can also be that you are having a negative reaction based on your present state of health. Not necessarily that it is bad for you always. If it works to improve your sleep, let me know. Have a wonderful day. Hi everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Just a reminder that this podcast is for information purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified health professional. This information is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or the professional advice or services. If you are looking for personal help on your health journey, do seek out a qualified professional. Please do make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. It is in no way intended as medical advice or a treatment or cure for any condition. Be sure to always directly work with a qualified practitioner before making any changes to your diet or lifestyle that may feel out of your realm of comfort or understanding. If you are looking for an allied functional medicine practitioner, do seek out more information on www.phytothrive.com. It is important that you have someone who is qualified and understands your health personally in order to provide adequate care, especially when it comes to chronic health conditions. Be sure to subscribe to the Sleep Whisperer podcast on your favorite podcast app to get each episode as soon as it launches. Hi everyone, I hope you enjoyed the show today. Just a reminder that this podcast is for information purposes only. It is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or otherwise qualified health professional. This information is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or the professional advice or services. If you are looking for personal help on your health journey, do seek out a qualified professional. Please do make your own healthcare decisions based upon your research and in partnership with a qualified healthcare professional. It is in no way intended as medical advice or a treatment or cure for any condition. Be sure to always directly work with a qualified practitioner before making any changes to your diet or lifestyle that may feel out of your realm of comfort or understanding. If you are looking for an allied functional medicine practitioner, do seek out more information on www.phytothrive.com. It is important that you have someone who is qualified and understands your health personally in order to provide adequate care, especially when it comes to chronic health conditions. Be sure to subscribe to the Sleep Whisperer podcast on your favorite podcast app to get each episode as soon as it launches.